Earlier this month, we read of Paul's aspiration for his life in the third chapter of Philippians, emphasizing the phrase, "and be found in him," how Paul wanted everyone who knew him and everyone he met to know that he was a Christian and that his life would justify his message. The Apostle Peter addresses a similar subject in a somewhat different matter in the third chapter of 1 Peter. Let's turn and read that. And he addresses it in a rather unusual manner. First, he starts off by in the 8th verse of the third chapter of 1 Peter, he admonishes the brethren to live together in amity. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are there unto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love, he quotes from the 34th Psalm. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers that which was good? And this is the passage I wish to emphasize tonight, in beginning with verse 14. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, of whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you your good conversation in Christ. At the time Peter wrote this, persecution of the church was not yet a regular policy of government, but it came at different times. So he was writing to encourage these people in times of imminent persecution. And he said, But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And this, again, is a quotation. It's a quotation from the eighth chapter of Isaiah. The subject of sanctification has been a problem over the years for many people. And part of the reason is because sanctification has many different meanings, depending on how it's used, many different applications. But what does he mean here by sanctify the Lord God in your hearts? Now, I can understand, I'm sure you can understand, how God sanctifies us. He makes us more and more into the image of Christ. But how can we sanctify God? We can't make him any more holy. We can't make him any more righteous. So what does it mean to sanctify the Lord? Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. In the 10th chapter of the book of Leviticus, we read an interesting account of concerning Moses' sons, Nadab and Abihu. in Leviticus chapter 10. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his incense, his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out a fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. The problem with Nadab and Abihu is that they didn't follow the command of God in their worship. They were supposed to take fire from off the altar to put on the censer to offer incense before the Lord, and they took fire from someplace else. And the law was very specific in its ritual, and the fire went out from the Lord and devoured them in judgment. And Moses said unto Aaron, This is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, that is the priests, in worship. And before all the people I will be glorified. So God's being sanctified in the presence of Israel had to do with their honoring him in following his command to them in ritual. But he also said, And before all the people I will be glorified. So it has to do with the glory of God, that he will be sanctified. So here, sanctified has to do with honoring the Lord, honoring him here in worship. So when the priests came before the Lord, they were to sanctify him in the eyes of the people by following his instructions in worship. So here we see one of the meanings of the word sanctified as applied to God is to honor him and to obey him. This passage in Peter that said, Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That is a quotation from the 8th chapter of Isaiah. Have you ever noticed how often the New Testament writers quote from the Old Testament? So much so that we can't really understand the New Testament fully unless we know the Old Testament. And it's always a good thing when we read a quotation in the New Testament to refer back to the Old Testament to see how it was used, and then how the New Testament writer uses it. In the 11th verse of the 8th chapter of Isaiah, we read, For the Lord spake thus unto me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and him be your dread. So this prophecy of Isaiah was given to Judah at a time when nearby Syria was pressing them hard with their armies, and they were planning a siege of Jerusalem, and the people, that is the counselors of the king and various people, were counseling to make a covenant or a confederacy with the nearby nations to be able to stand off the Syrians of Damascus. But the Lord here says, say ye not a confederacy. That is, it is not God's will for you to make a confederacy with these other people. Say ye not a confederacy to all them of this people, shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, that is the fear of the Syrians, nor be afraid, but sanctify the Lord himself, and let him be your fear, let him be your dread. So here, the prophet was urging them not to trust in the armies of the nations around them, but to trust in the Lord. So here, to sanctify the Lord was to trust him in this time of trouble, in this time of adversity, to put confidence in him. So in speaking of sanctifying the Lord, we can say that it means to honor him and to trust him, to honor him with our trust and to obey him as we know he wants us to, what he wants us to do. So Isaiah here was urging the people to sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Now here again, not only does sanctify have different meanings and applications depending on how it's used, but this word fear does also. Do not fear the enemy. That is, don't dread them, because he adds here, neither be afraid, but let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. That is the Lord. And all through the Old Testament, you read the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and like phrases. That doesn't mean to be afraid of the Lord. It means to reverence him. So sanctifying the Lord is to reverence him, and as well as to trust him and to honor him. Sanctify the Lord. Now, coming back to our passage in Peter, where we read in Peter 3:13, be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. This is a quotation from Isaiah. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Now this is a quotation from the Septuagint version of the Old Testament. You notice in Isaiah, we read that we were to sanctify the Lord himself. The Septuagint says to sanctify the Lord of hosts. No, the Isaiah said sanctify the Lord of hosts. The Septuagint says sanctify the Lord himself. Here it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. If you're using one of the more contemporary versions of the Bible, you'll read it this way, and sanctify Christ the Lord in your hearts, or sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Before the about the 1450, when the printing press was invented, all copies of the scripture had to be copied by hand, by scribe, for over nearly 1,500 years. All of the scripture was copied by hand, and there are literally hundreds and hundreds of copies of those manuscripts that have survived into this day. Interestingly, about half of them read, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." The other half of them read, "Sanctify Christ the Lord in your hearts." But whichever way is the way Peter wrote it, he had the Lord Jesus in mind. Sanctify the Lord Jesus in your heart. And the common definition for sanctify is separation. To separate. That is, in the sense of to devote. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, we read an interesting, amusing story in the book of Exodus, in the 9th chapter, the 12th chapter of Exodus. We read that the death angel had just killed all of the firstborn in Egypt. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up, get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. And take also your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also." And the Egyptians were urged upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, "We be all dead men." And the people took their dough before it was leavened, and their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed from the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. This borrowed is a euphemism, for they were leaving town. They were not going to repay it. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such as things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. So you might say they got some back pay. But when they had gone out from Egypt and were in the desert, they brought all of this wealth that they had spoiled of the Egyptians and dedicated it to the use of the tabernacle, building the tabernacle. And in so giving, they sanctified all of this wealth that they had received by separating it from themselves and their own possession and devoting it unto the Lord. So that is another one of the meanings of the word sanctified. Sanctify the Lord God, and Peter adds to that quotation, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That is, in our hearts, give him honor. In our hearts, trust him. In our hearts, obey him. In our hearts, worship him. That is what he means by sanctifying the Lord God. And in devoting our heart to the Lord, it becomes a sanctuary. You remember the Apostle Paul said, your bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost. And the heart, that is, your inward being, is the sanctuary of that temple. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. We have a lovely song on record at home. And the song ends thus, enlarge my soul and reign supreme within. That catches exactly the meaning of Peter here. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. A prayer to him to enlarge your capacity for him, that he can reign supreme in the realm of the heart. And in so doing, this sanctification will honor him in our lives. In times of adversity, when we trust him, trusting in him was one of the ways to sanctify the Lord. In Isaiah, the people were facing an invasion from a foreign country, and they were to trust in the Lord and sanctify him by trusting in the Lord. The people, the Jewish believers to whom Peter wrote, were living in a time when persecution was always imminent, and they were in a special danger because, being Jews, they were, and believers in Jesus, they were in danger of being persecuted by the Jews. But also they were in danger of being persecuted by the Gentiles because they were believers in Jesus and owed him the sovereignty over their life rather than Caesar. They would render unto Caesar that which was Caesar's, but they would not let him be the sovereign of their life and of their hearts. So he urges them here to, if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Sanctify the Lord in adversity, and by extension, and as the Israelites of old, sanctify the Lord in misfortune. Now, there are people, Christian believers in the world today, who do face bitter persecution and even martyrdom for their faith. Many of them are. But we here have never been in that position. That is not to say we never will be, but we haven't been. But we've been plenty of times in adversity, and misfortunes caused by adversaries or misfortune caused by circumstances, to sanctify the Lord in our hearts and in our lives by putting our trust in him. And also, we sanctify him in our life by the testimony of our life. Just as Paul wanted his life to be a testimony to all that he knew and met, that he was a believer, that he was in Christ, just so Peter urges the people here, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you in meekness and fear. I mentioned during the convention a brother who a number of years ago had said to me that he knew what he believed, but he couldn't defend it. Peter's telling these people to be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks. He's not telling them to go out and buttonhole people, but that has brought results too. But here he is said to give an answer to everyone who asks. And to do that, we have to know the scriptures, we have to understand them, and sanctify the Lord in our hearts by learning the scriptures and by defending what the faith that we have and in our testimony, defending the faith to give an answer, to be prepared to give an answer, and by a godly life, just as Paul expressed, having with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed and falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Every Christian has the Spirit of Christ within him. We sanctify our hearts by giving him full reign in our hearts and then in our lives by our trust, by our obedience, by the life that we live. Paul summed it up very succinctly in Colossians 3:17. Whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus.